Hour number two of DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you today. Adam Vingan is off on a little vacation. He'll be back with us on Monday. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace is out in Hermitage for the NFL Alumni Golf Tournament. That's where our next guest sidekick, Kelly Holcomb, is also today, so I'm sure it's just a matter of time before Kelly comes by and starts heckling D-Mace about the upcoming underdog season.
Well, I ran into him already. Into him already. He didn't mention anything just yet. But best believe, I will mention it now. I will heckle him when I see him.
Yes, and both of you, you don't have a lot of bragging rights because it was Chris Sanders that ran away with the competition last year. But I believe our next guest, I'm hoping, will be back in the mix next year after being not in the competition for a rare time in the last 30-some-odd years that we've had the silly underdog picks, because he was the creator of it. Plaz is on the line with us. Plaz, what's going on?
So he has
Willie, what's going on with you?
And so, Plaz, you got to deal with Chris Sanders' antics during the season, possibly. I'm not sure you're ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know what it's all about. You know, he goes down the list of other games. Lehigh versus Wabash. You know, there's a lot of that goes on. And it takes no skill. He just kind of gives it an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And today's underdog is Incarnate Word.
And you know, it's all feast or famine with him. And see, Chris Sanders has won two underdog titles just by taking basically the biggest underdog every week. And if it hits, he gets big points. And so he had Vanderbilt against Alabama last year. He had Vanderbilt against, I think, Virginia Tech as well. So he had some big ones last year. Oh, my goodness. It was unbelievable. He had the thing won by October 15th.
Yeah, it was over.
So he actually started taking teams with stands on both sides.
Well, not always, but Plaz, he committed the ultimate sin. D-Mace, tell him what the ultimate sin was.
Oh, my goodness, Plaz. See,
in the last week of the season.
Yeah, this tells you he really has no, like, allegiance to anybody when it comes to football or college football. This is something that I know, George, you have never done. Say if you went to Ohio State, George, which I know you didn't. You went to the one Vanderbilt University, the great University of Vanderbilt. Hey, I couldn't get in, so to me, it's the great Vanderbilt University.
But yeah, you could.
You would have never in your life picked, if you went to Ohio State, Michigan to win anything, let alone a game against your former team, would you?
First of all, if you do that, when you think about how bitter that rivalry is, here's sanctions that should be taken against that. Number one, he should never be allowed back in the state of Ohio.
Absolutely, yes.
Pure and
simple. Entire state.
Yeah, the entire state. And then he should have his Buckeye card taken away from him. He's no longer a member of Buckeye society. He's a mercenary.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we summed it up when he made that pick. It's pretty much how we summed it up. There's
he
no way.
Michigan to beat Ohio State, and of course they did.
Exactly.
Yeah, and even though he's a good human being, there's no excuse for that. Derek,
exactly.
You're absolutely right, which is part of the reason you're going in the Tennessee Hall of Fame. Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame in July, because you see these things.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. There we go.
I'm glad we got that out there.
Very controversial. Very controversial stuff. So, George, first of all, we had some fun last hour. We were trying to think back. We were talking about training camps. Brian Callahan, I think, is going to try to shake up some training camp. He's going to try to keep the team on the road for about 8 straight days. He's going to Tampa. He's going to Atlanta. But you and I experienced, and D-Mace missed this because he had gone to Baltimore by this time. But remember the training camp that Jeff Fisher had at Austin Peay?
Oh, my God. Where the average temperature was 106.
There were no frills at all.
We were in the middle of a really hot streak. And, one thing I remember was that I used it as the excuse one night, perhaps to go to a gaming establishment.
Oh, yes.
Willie, I'll never forget, Matt Mauk asked if he could go with me and get the hell out of there.
Did he miss a curfew because of you?
No, he did not. No, it was not allowed.
It was above board. It was not a violation of camp.
It was brutally hot. Nobody was having any fun. And driving up there and back every day, it didn't go over real well.
No, and it didn't work very well for the team. I think that was the infamous Pac-Man. Was that Pac-Man, or was that a year before Pac-Man? I feel like that was a Pac-Man Jones Titans team. I could be off by a year. Either way, the team was not very good.
Did y'all see where he got arrested again?
Yes, I did. Well, I don't know, but he had a pretty good Joe DiMaggio hitting streak of consecutive years without being arrested. one a lot longer than I thought he'd be capable of based on what happened while he was here.
Derek, oh my at goodness. Any point did you try to counsel him?
No, man. No, I've never been in a position where that has been an option. I'm just like y'all. Well, I guess not
because you were gone, right?
But I was, yeah.
You were gone.
I was just hearing this stuff from afar. That's all I was doing. I was hearing things from afar.
Did that get your attention? Were you guys following that? All of the craziness, of course, ended in the craziest part. It was the awful shooting in Vegas where he made it rain and there was a club and somebody shot a guy and got paralyzed. We had some unbelievable coverage of that, but was that on your radar, D-Mace, when you were with the Ravens?
Yeah, all of it was. I mean, whether it be that, Big Albert stepping on somebody's face mask, the guy from the girl from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, all that stuff, because a lot of it made, like sports headlines, whether it was something going on off the field with Pac-Man, whether it was Vince Young doing what he did, or, stuff that was happening, throughout it all kind of sort of got back and filtered somewhat, once it got to Baltimore. But, yeah, we followed all that stuff because a lot of it was NFL-worthy news.
George, remember we had the guy on from the club where the incident happened?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
We had all the TV stations in the studio, and they're all filming this. And this guy blurts out, he walked in with the shooter, and he walked out with it. And I was like, oh, my God. He hadn't lawyered up yet, has he?
Oh, man. That was
a dramatic show.
It was. And, of course, as we know, Pac-Man Jones was suspended for an entire year by the NFL. After our interview, I think the next day is when Christopher Russo, the Mad Dog, who you still see on ESPN all the time now doing his thing. He's really revived his career, by the way. Mm-hmm. But he went on his show on WFAN, and he had this rant that we kept playing every day. Throw him out of the league! Have some guts!
Right.
Remember, he was yelling at Roger Goodell, show some guts! Throw him out of the league! And he didn't throw him out of the league, but he suspended him for a year. But to Pac-Man's credit, after all of those shenanigans, George, he kept playing in the league for a long time. Remember, Jerry Jones, we had a guy on from Dallas, and Jerry Jones had signed Pac-Man Jones, and he assigned a bodyguard to kind of follow him around, and we were laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with this.
Yeah. And yet in Cincinnati, he found either a police department that would look the other way, or he cleaned his act up for a while.
Yeah, what's happened?
He seemed to, he became, he got married, he had children, he adopted the receiver. I forget the receiver that passed away that he played with at West Virginia. He adopted his sons.
Really?
You know, I don't. Yeah, I mean, for all the things that Pac-Man has gotten himself into, I think to the core he's a good guy. But for some reason, he just can't seem to get himself away from that. But a lot of times it happens and it says, well, he's been, you know, intoxicated, which should tell you, man, you may need to stop drinking some, man. Because if only time you find yourself in trouble is when you've been drinking, then the common denominator is the alcohol, right? So wouldn't you get rid of it? That's my only thing.
Well, Willie calls it something different. I know I shouldn't be making fun here, but I'll never forget the first time I heard Willie say, a taste for the great.
Oh, the taste for the grape, yeah. And maybe something a little stronger than the grapes.
A taste for the grapes.
Yeah. There was that whole incident at Club 615 where he ripped the chain off of Big Daddy Gaddy, the famous Steve McNair's buddy, who was a great player for Pat Sperduto in the Nashville. There's so many chapters in this, and you go back through it when this happens. But a little Nashville history there. But let's go to current day, Plaz, because I know you've got a little chip on your shoulder. You got D-Mace here, a Detroit native. His Tigers are sailing along and having their best year, their best year in a good while, over a decade for sure. The Mets are cleaning up on some bad teams right now, but the Braves keep struggling. And tell me what's got your goat on that.
So, Willie, a little more than a week ago, they called up Craig Kimbrell from the minor leagues. And when I say the minor leagues, the Gwinnett team that he played for was actually here playing the Sounds. So he gets called up on a Thursday, the same day that the Braves bullpen blew a 7-run lead in the ninth inning. And so, you know, this seems like one happy note in an otherwise dismal road trip and all this kind of stuff. And the Braves PR department starts putting out all this, Craig's back. First of all, Craig Kimbrell, because I looked it up earlier this morning. I'm going to have Danny Evans on this afternoon. We're going to get into this a little bit. Craig Kimbrell is the fifth all-time leader in Major League Baseball history in saves. The four ahead of him, gosh, I hope I can remember this, are Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, Lee Smith, and, Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen, yeah.
Okay. So Craig Kimbrell has a shot to be a future Hall of Famer. Would you buy that?
I think he has a shot, yeah.
Billy Wagner got in with less saves a year ago. So the Braves call him up on a Friday, and he pitches one inning, and he wasn't particularly good, but he gave up no runs, which means right there he's better than about two-thirds of their bullpen. And so, less than 24 hours later, they designate him for assignment. You know, and the reports come out of, you know, decreased velocity, and, you know, the 97-mile-an-hour fastball was down to 92, and I get all that. He's not what he was. But that's pretty damn cruel. 24 hours later, after you've thrown one shutout inning, which was a little fluky, to DFA him, that's about as cutthroat as it gets. And look, I'm a Braves fan through and through, but I'm not going to support that kind of crap. I'm really down on Alex Anthopoulos because, you know, it's easy to win with class, but when things aren't going well, is this how you're going to behave?
Well, I am stunned that they didn't give him another. If it were just some scrub, you know, from AAA, and that happened, I could see them doing that. But Kimbrell, after taking the time to bring him back and build him up to that point, to pitch it after one inning, and it doesn't it say something, George, that somebody else signed him that quick?
Well, it was the Rangers signed him to a minor league deal. Because that's part of when you're designated for assignment, I guess you've got like 10 days to right. move on to something else or end up back in Gwinnett. Willie, two things here. Number one, one of his catchers in Gwinnett is a former big leaguer, James McCann. And I give McCann a ton of credit because he came out and ripped the Braves, which will not help him in trying to get back to the big leagues. But I think he just basically said at 34, 35 years old, screw it. I don't like what I saw. This isn't right, and I'm going to say something. And, Willie, the second thing is, what is the Major League Baseball Players Association waiting on to file a grievance?
That's a good question. I don't know all the ins and outs of what would the grievance be?
The grievance is that you treated him like crap. Now, is there a legal thing to that? I don't know. But, Willie, here's the thing. The Major League Baseball Players Association is stronger by a mile, for instance, than football. Football's players union has the backbone of a chocolate eclair. And Derek knows that. The Major League Baseball Players Association is a strong group. Marvin Miller was the one who led them 50 years ago. And you know what? It's this kind of stuff that has told those players, we better be tough.
Well, I'm curious to see how it turns out, especially if he were to go to the Rangers and do well. That would not reflect well on the Braves, who, you know, they're the ones that brought up and created Craig Kimbrel from the beginning. There's history there. So that would be noteworthy. So, Plaz, time has come to an end. Looking forward to joining your show on Monday. Tell people again where they can hear you here and what time each day. 3 to 5, 94.9. What do you got going today? And is Kelly going to be part of the show today, or is he going to be on the links?
Danny Evans, no, Kelly's on the links.
Okay.
Danny Evans will be on, and Willie, this is the first thing I'm going to talk to him about is, okay, is there more to this story than I know? Because right now, I believe Brian Snitker knew they were going to do this to Kimbrel, and I know Anthopoulos knew. And, you know, I want to ask Danny, how is that right?
So tune in, 94.9, weekdays for the George Plaster Show, 3 to 5. And you can also stream him on all the various platforms, which I'm sure George can rattle off very easily, and he has right at the tips of his fingers on his phone.
You mean like YouTube?
There you go, YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be one, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
Well done, well done.
Twitter?
Plaz, you've come a long way.
Yes.
Twitter?
Formerly known as X.
Yes.
Go to
Twitch?
Your commercial break.
Okay, sounds good. Plaz, we'll talk to you again soon. All right,
see
George Plaz.
All right, Plaz. You're trying to embarrass Plaz, man, because he's not, you know, in the forefront of technology. Yeah, yeah.
He's not so tech anytime savvy. And it makes me feel good, D-Mace, because I'm not really tech savvy. I've
but you're a little bit more tech savvy than he is.
Yes, I look great. I look like a whiz kid compared to him.
Even George's voicemail. This is a new thing for me, have a new phone. And I'm just like, all right, good to know.
Hey, man. As long as you know a little bit more than George, Willie, you're all right.
I feel good about myself.
Yes.
All right, when we come back, we'll get back into our discussion for the day. We're talking Titans. We're talking NBA Finals. We've got a lot on our plate. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk Stanley Cup Finals. Game 4 is tonight, and it's a big one for the Oilers. They're down 2-1 to the Florida Panthers. And, of course, the draft is coming up. Trade rumors are out there. And we'll talk Preds with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock here on the show. Stay tuned. We're talking DVD on 102.5 The Game. And let me just tell you about Chase and Big Joe, what they've got going on. Tomorrow morning, they're going to broadcast live from Maple Street Biscuit Company, located at 2407 8th Avenue South in Nashville from 9 to 11. Get free crispy tots. Terry Crisp, free crispy tots with the purchase of any of their delicious biscuit sandwiches, and also sign up for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Sounds game. Stay tuned. DVD is coming back.